Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Something to say?
Follow us on Twitter
at TNT Radio Empire
and tweet back. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
She's a heathen like the rest of us, but at least on the show. But has she done the heathen, the devil's yoga at all?
Yoga.
Yeah.
Devil's yoga. No, but I am intrigued.
Well, here's the deal.
That sounds right up my alley.
Here's the deal, Dr. Mina. The Alabama just, you couldn't do yoga in public schools since 93 because of Hinduism. They don't want Hinduism so creeping into Alabama schools.
All of the yoga is the devil's yoga.
So did you ever, yoga wouldn't be the devil in your house because, you know.
Oh, no. That is, we are the devil.
You are. You're Hindu.
We are zero for the devil, right?
Right. You are.
And I'm pretty sure in Alabama, many, many of their hospitals are staffed by heathens.
Oh, that's right.
Probably.
Yeah. And they're very, very happy to have them do that.
Oh, yeah.
But, oh, gosh, no.
Thanks for going to school, but don't bend over. Yeah.
We also speculated that the University of Alabama football program may practice yoga, because a lot of athletic programs do that now. They bring in a yoga instructor.
Yeah.
I think almost all of the NFL teams have a yoga instructor.
You would think so.
You at least have that option.
I am shocked and horrified by the level of crazy that is going on in this country right now.
I am too.
Really, it doesn't shock me. It horrifies me, but it doesn't shock me.
It doesn't shock me,
You know, it's relentless, whether it's voting rights or bills levied at transgender children.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's disheartening. It's completely disheartening. But what I did learn the hard way last time I called in is that I really need to, it's like homework. I have to stay up on these podcasts because usually I'm about a day behind.
Yeah.
And then I get off the phone and then I catch up and I say, holy crap, they said what? And I didn't address it. So there was a story that Craig had done about a guy who was licking a toad and then he died.
Yes.
And I just want to remind people that no matter what anyone on this show says, licking a toad does not that causes death does not sound like, and I quote, the perfect high.
Was that Nick? Was that Nick that said that?
It was all of you. It was all of you.
Sorry, Nick.
I went back and checked the tape. It was all of you.
Perfect
high. And it was in under 17 seconds from the word death to, but it sounds like the perfect high.
Oh, you put a clock on that, huh?
Yeah, I went back to check. I wanted
seconds.
To make sure I was fair to everybody on
I'm
the
proud.
Show. Look, there are a
are
lot of
are you denying
of things
the existence of the perfect high? Because there is the perfect high.
The one that kills you is not a good one. But,
no, I think the perfect high is you are straddling the line between buzzed and death.
Hey, that's,
I don't think that's the perfect
your
high.
Move, Doc. Okay.
That's my definition.
Yeah, see, but that requires me to be there. And I've been fighting death for so long. And let me tell you, it is exhausting, okay? It's really frustrating when we don't win. And it's more so when you're licking a toad to get there. So, as a reminder, there are a lot of things you can lick. Please don't waste that talent on amphibians and reptiles, okay?
You want that clip of her saying that lick that thing area.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get that.
All right, there was another question, and we'd actually gone over this, about how do you eat hot food and your GI tract doesn't burn up or shrivel or...
Yeah, when your hands or on your tongue and your...
Stuff that would burn your skin...
Everything else can burn,
...is edible, apparently.
Right, right.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, GI tract is an amazing, fascinating organ.
Yeah.
And does not get near its due respect. But first of all, as a reminder, spiciness is not a taste. It is actually a pain and heat sensation. It is not a taste. It's
okay.
A chemical reaction between capsaicin and the sensory neurons in your mouth and to your brain. So spiciness is not a flavor. And actually these peppers, like the California, the Carolina Reaper, it has a really sweet taste, actually. But within a few seconds, it's like molten lava because you have pain.
Yeah.
You get this pain sensation that wipes out the taste.
Right. The capsaicin overpowers you.
Right.
Exactly. So this is not a taste. This is actually your body feeling pain when you break out into a sweat and when you are starting to you start to tear up. Those are all your body trying to get rid of this pain, the reaction.
If I eat a hot pepper, it will cause my nose to run, generally.
Yep. Yep, that is exactly what it is. Your body is
that too.
That capsaicin is tricking the brain into thinking there's an actual temperature change, and so your body tries to cool itself down. You start to sweat. You'll have increased saliva, increased mucus, increased tears, and then your GI tract starts to kick into overdrive. So it stimulates a lot more mucus. It will stimulate the metabolism. This is why people get more diarrhea. It will increase the amount of mucus to neutralize all of this, and so this is why most people do not have. I mean, you'll have diarrhea. You might have a little bit of pain when you have that diarrhea, but you do not have an explosion of your GI tract.
Oh, explosion. Yeah.
You can feel it upon exit, too.
Feel it. Oh, yeah.
You can feel it upon exit, yes.
That's what I always remember. I remember getting these, without being out too late to be too graphic, but used to eat these hot subs years ago from this place you deliver them when I lived back east. And inevitably, you ate them hot, but you knew it was hot coming out, and you still didn't care. So it goes through your GI tract, and you don't feel it through your belly, but all of a sudden you feel it in your ass. That just stuck to the table.
The same lining around your anus is what is up in the upper GI tract, and so you will get the same irritation.
Got it.
Yeah, but you don't have the nerve endings up in your stomach. You have the nerve endings in your butt.
Yeah, that's why she said that.
But this is also in your mouth. You know, like that same irritation
don't go mouth
that
to butt
you get.
Right.
It'll come out. Yes, it'll come out, and it will irritate, and it'll hurt. Yep,
okay.
Absolutely.
That explains a lot, then. Oh, it's going to hurt coming out, and it does. It does.
It's going to hurt coming out.
Craig just did
so
a story
good.
About antihistamines. Can you explain to us?
And how come we can't taste something in our butt?
What? Oh, the
taste
buds? Receptors are not there. No taste
There's no
buds.
Taste buds in your butt. Got it.
No,
all right.
No taste buds.
Legitimate question.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. That's right.
That's a good thing.
Oh, that's a great thing. I never thought about that, Push. You're right. It would taste like ass every day. Right?
Yeah.
Otherwise,
let's
someone
be happy
would have
about that.
Invented a procedure to put taste buds in your butt. And nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
I forgot about that.
Sorely disappointed.
Okay, stupid question.
All right. To follow up on Craig's antihistamine story here, what are histamines and why are we against them?
Oh, she didn't know it then. That was before she joined the show. So tell her about the story.
Oh, yeah. Craig did a story about antihistamines.
How they can kill you. Too many.
Yeah, if you OD on
people misuse them.
That wasn't the point of the story, but yeah.
On the antihistamines, but I want to know what a histamine is.
So first of all, we're not necessarily always against histamines.
Okay.
So it's a question of what do histamines do and why are we trying to, why are we trying to counteract them? And histamines in your body are really a neurotransmitter that is part of that allergic reaction, okay?
Okay.
It's what causes you to have the itchiness, the redness, that swelling, the cough in response to various allergens. And again, it's your body trying to get rid of something that it perceives as an irritant, it perceives as foreign. So it's your body's defense mechanism against this.
Okay.
The problem is that we tend to say, okay, these are bothering me too much, that this irritation, this allergic reaction, the eyes that turn red and are very itchy, the runny nose, everything like that. And so we'll take an antihistamine to decrease the body's reaction to whatever this is. And so they're not necessarily that we're always anti or against them. They're a good thing. They're part of the body's normal reaction to something that it perceives as foreign. It perceives as possibly a threat. It perceives as something it needs to attack or take care of or clear out. But we have decided that the reaction is too much. It interferes with our day-to-day, like, you know, doing things like allergies. And so we take an antihistamine as a response.
All right. But we are against inflammatory.
Inflammatory. The immune system is what is your there's a balance. So for everything, there's a balance. Your immune system is part of your inflammatory reaction. When you have a cut, your immune system, that inflammation, the redness that comes around a cut, is it fighting off any bacteria that is there, trying to make sure that it's getting, opening up the blood vessels and getting everything that is good to help you stop and heal, stop the bleeding and heal everything and clear out anything that's bad. Those are good responses. When you have an infection, that inflammatory response is what's fighting off the infection and making sure you clear that infection. People who have abscesses, the body's immune system, the inflammatory response walls off the abscess and says, look, inside of this is a bunch of bacteria. If it gets into the body, it's going to kill them. We need to make this abscess and wall off this infection. It's when the balance gets out of whack that we want to have an anti-inflammatory. When it's too much, when it's hurting us too much, then the body doesn't sometimes know when to say stop. It is just fighting a fight. It's programmed to do that, and the rest of the body may pay a consequence for that. And so sometimes we have to re-regulate it a little bit, and that's when you get an anti-inflammatory. But it's it is a balancing act, and not every, there's no absolute good and absolute bad. It's the right balance to maintain.
But everything is touted as an anti-inflammatory, it seems,
yes,
these days.
Oh, God,
you know, forms,
yes,
of exercise, I mean, what you eat, how you breathe.
Tell us what happened later, yeah. Hey, Doc, I know you're probably going to get to some stuff, but I got a question about the vaccination and the COVID situation. And this has come up in my family, probably in the near future. Say my wife and I are vaccinated. I get my second shot on Saturday. Then 2 weeks after that is when all that kicks in. My wife is already pretty much kicked in because she had and the daughter is getting her first shot. She's only getting the one. My son had his first shot yesterday. His second one will be in 3 weeks. But let's just say my wife and I are out. When we're safe and we actually go somewhere indoors to have a drink. Is it my problem that people that are anti-vax are in that building?
It is not your problem, but we are not at herd immunity.
Okay, I know that. So how am I supposed to feel?
You should not have a drink or eat inside where you have to remove a mask if you are among people who are not vaccinated.
And but how do you know? How do you
why
know?
Why is that?
It's a public place, so how do
you,
I know who's vaccinated?
You know that the world currently, as of yesterday, right, and so I don't have today's data, and I apologize.
All right.
But as of yesterday, only 19.4% of the total population were fully vaccinated. They had gotten either completed one shot or had gotten the full dose of the two. And so we need that to get closer to, you know, the 70, this 80% before we can feel that anybody, even if they're fully vaccinated, can go out into mixed company without a mask, and they would not be able to get the virus into their nose and transmit it to somebody who's not vaccinated yet and get them sick. There is less of that transmission when you're fully vaccinated, but we know that some of it does exist. Now, what can you do when you're fully vaccinated?
Right.
You can have dinner inside with other people who are fully vaccinated and not have to worry about wearing a mask. You can have conversations. So if everybody in the studio was fully vaccinated, they could all be in the studio without their masks, and that would be fine.
Yeah, well, we're planning on doing that as soon as everybody gets fully vaccinated. Nick's coming back in the studio. I totally believe you, and I know you're coming from the health standpoint. But you know that this is not happening. People are getting vaccinated, and they are going out. And what do you tell those
You know
people?
Why I know that? We're having a fourth surge.
There you go.
You know why I know that? So many people are calling me after they get their first shot and they are getting COVID. So many
that
people
one scares
are calling
me.
Me
That's
after
why
they get their second shot and they're getting COVID. And why is that? Because we have more of it out there. We have more of these variants. The predominant strain now in the United States is the B117. This B117 strain is 70% more transmissible. It is 60% more deadly. Vaccines are still effective, but if you only have 19% of the population vaccinated and you have a 70% more transmissible virus, and you have businesses that are saying, oh, hey, we can go to 50% capacity from 25% capacity, or we can have people eating and drinking inside, or we can go on vacation, when you still only have 19% of the country fully vaccinated, that's not safe. Yeah. And then every time you go out, and you are not fully vaccinated, you are at an even higher risk.
Yeah,
right now.
I realize that. So yeah, I realize that.
I am contemplating.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I cannot impress upon this enough that this is a huge issue, folks. I want to be happy and excited about these vaccines, and I want people to feel like when they are fully vaccinated that they are able to do things and that they can go and do things, because that is that is the benefit of going and getting vaccinated. But until we get the entire country up to there, it is not a I've got mine issue.
And I didn't say so that. That's not what I was asking.
I've got mine
I didn't
issue
say it that way.
In this country.
I did not say that.
Yeah,
I didn't
no,
ask.
But it's a bigger issue.
I know.
It is a bigger
I know
issue
it is. I know
around
it is.
Around the country.
I was just wanting to know the details.
I got vaccinated, so I can go out. And no, we just cannot do that yet. So we are the current recommendations are, if you are fully vaccinated, you still should not take off your mask in a public place unless everybody in that public place is vaccinated. And if you don't know, then it's not. It's you shouldn't take off your mask.
Once I'm clear, I'm contemplating getting on an airplane. Will I be okay if I wear a mask?
You'll have to wear a mask. Yeah, you'll have to wear a mask. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Does that mean I cannot all the way to Denver? I have to fly all the way to Denver without a drink?
Get drunk when you get on, man. No, they serve you.
I'm
man.
Telling you. I would not go. I have been fully vaccinated since January. I will not go and eat indoors in a restaurant.
Yeah, you still won't.
I will not go to a place
you're in the belly of the beast. Go ahead.
You know, but it's anywhere.
I know.
It's anywhere. You know, it's just, it's not the right thing to do right now.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's move forward here. At this level of vaccinations, I mean, there's millions and millions. Every day there's thousands and thousands of people going through the... I was at one yesterday. It was packed. All walks of life, all ages, all races were there for my son's vaccine.
Yeah, at this rate, somebody reached out to me.
Where are we in the summer? Where are we in the summer or late summer where you think it'll be 70%?
Well, so first of all, I just want to say that anyone running these vaccination sites, please make sure that folks are socially distanced, because folks have been sending me pictures and there are no social distancing, and these are not vaccinated people. So we need to do this safely.
Yeah.
We do not want people to get sick on their way to their vaccine.
True.
Where will we be, or when will we reach that threshold of herd immunity? It really depends. There is going to be a point, and I think that point will happen in the next month or two, where we are going to have enough vaccine for everybody, and the question will be, can we convince enough people to get it?
Exactly.
And that is going to be on every single person.
Right.
Because we don't beat this. The more spread that is possible, the more likely we are going to have variants. And those variants may actually, the nice thing about this SARS-CoV-2 is it doesn't mutate particularly effectively, but it might warrant that we have to get another shot, and then we have to roll this all out again and do this all over
again.
That's
scary.
And it's a process. And so the more that we can convince everyone to please get vaccinated, the better it is for all of us.
Now,
it
absolutely is. A couple of questions from the past couple of days. Say you get your first vaccine. Then you get the COVID.
Yep.
What happens then?
The first vaccine is not effective. They have changed the recommendations. So the initial recommendations were that if you had COVID, wait 90 days before your second shot. You do not need to restart the series. You can just get the second one if it's like a two-shot series. Now the recommendations are that you need to wait at least 2 weeks after you have completed your quarantine. And then and you have to be asymptomatic before you can go and complete your series. So you will probably be off your series. You know, you won't be exactly a time point, but that is fine. You just go and get that second shot. Now, the only caveat is if you require monoclonal antibody therapy. If you require monoclonal antibody therapy, you must wait 90 days after that monoclonal antibody therapy before you complete your vaccine.
Okay.
But yes,
I know. Don't tell us what that is, because
that's what I was thinking.
We won't matter. We know that's we know somebody who ever has that knows that.
Right.
It is, but
it's different than the multichromal.
Yeah, I know. We don't know. We don't know what that means.
Single antibody therapy. Right. It's basically
talk dumb. It's us, and it's the audience. Talk dumb.
But there were a bunch of. So yes, you can absolutely get COVID after your first vaccine.
Oh yeah, we knew that.
You can absolutely get COVID after your second one, and because it has not reached that full efficacy or effectiveness of the vaccine, especially after the first one, I've seen people get very, very sick.
Yeah.
After the second one, you may not get as sick, but you could still be sick. You could still be symptomatic from this.
All right.
So it's not it's not just a free pass. I got my shot. I'm safe now.
I never said that. All I ever felt was I might not die. That's all I care about is getting my own shots. I won't die. You know, and that's not really selfish. You know, I don't think that's selfish at all, thinking, well, I'm glad I got both my shots. Now I won't die, you know?
Exactly. No, it's not. It's what we want people to feel, but there are plenty of people who have felt, I got my shot, and now I can go do anything I want.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, I've seen it.
It's 2 weeks, please. And secondly, then this brings up and ties into another set of questions you had, and this idea of I've got mine has been prevalent throughout the pandemic, and that is a normal response. It's the survival and a survival instinct, but it can really, really hurt us. And there's a lot of different ways. So first of all, I've got mine attitude of the United States with the vaccine. If we do not make sure that
everybody else gets
the rest of the world gets vaccinated, you have seen how quickly this transmits from Brazil, from England, from China. I mean, we are all interconnected, and it serves nobody to say, well, we've got ours.
Yeah,
and
just ask Nick. This is a global pandemic.
Oh, yes, pandemic. Exactly.
It's everywhere.
He's been saying that from the beginning.
It's everywhere.
Secondly, I want to offer folks one thought, and maybe I've got too much, but it does tie into something you had asked. You guys had asked about blood donations and tissue donations. If you have, what was it, the fatty blood? Or I can't remember what was it.
Nick's got fat blood.
The high triglycerides.
Yes, or if you were, licking a toad or something like that.
Like DMX.
substance abusers.
Yes. So, first of all, Nick, you can absolutely donate blood, and I will get back to that topic in a second.
Just fat? They put fat on the tube then? They do not
infuse statin concurrently.
My blood type is double XL.
They can't filter it out.
Double XL.
They filter it out. They filter it. It's red blood cells. They're not worried about your fat. They got you. They got this covered. Remember, there's a lot more. There's a screening process for anyone who is an organ donor even if before they start to donate these organs, they will actually run blood tests. And so even if you don't know, or even if you may have lied, or maybe your family doesn't know the full extent of what you have done, there's toxicology screens. There are blood cultures to make sure there's no infections. There's a huge array of tests.
All right.
And as a reminder, every single one of you has organs that can and tissue that is incredibly valuable. We think about kidneys and livers and hearts and pancreases, but remember also the hands and face. There, people are transplanting those. Corneas do not need to match. They are universal.
Okay.
There are heart valves, skin, bone, tendons. Each year, these donations help save or enhance people, over 30,000 people's lives. And then your bone marrow. Blood and platelets can all be donated. So there are literally dozens of lives that you can save.
Oh, yeah, I'm an organ donor, yeah. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter how old you are right. or what your medical history is. There is something.
Or how fat your blood is, apparently.
Yeah.
Fat or blood. How fat your blood is.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to – so I want to
offer – how about how fat your organ is? How about that?
Yeah. But if somebody had –
well, that does matter. That does matter a little bit.
Girth matters in donation, right?
An obese
it
liver.
It does. It does. So you're not going to transplant a 7-year-old's heart into a 60-year-old male's body. That's not going to be a perfect match. But you can save another child who's waiting for a heart transplant.
But that would make a great movie.
What?
The seven-year-old
heart goes into an old man and he becomes a little kid again.
That's not the organ. He starts running around the playground.
Not the organ I was talking about. But yeah, what the hell? Sure, let's do the heart.
Yeah, but if somebody has a choice,
let's
say he needs a new liver, and there's a 30-year-old guy that just lost his life. He could have that liver, or he could have mine.
Well,
if he has a choice, don't take me.
I want to offer one quick thing, real quick,
sure.
You guys. And I'm sorry, I know it's time, but we do have this sense of I've got mine. But instead of celebrating your vaccine by going out to a restaurant or going to a club, please consider a blood donation.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
that's a good idea.
Folks, we have had a huge shortage of blood supplies. And also, businesses, if you have remained open despite us begging you to close, then you could be a site where a blood donation could be held. And we've had millions of blood donation appointments that have been canceled because they could not get a site to hold a blood drive.
Got it.
Currently, we have a critical shortage of blood. So please, folks, again, the thinking of beyond, well, I've got mine now, I can go do whatever I want, but use that opportunity to donate, to host the blood donation drive. We really need the help right now.
Fat blood, welcome.
Right.
There you go.
Fat blood, always
Nick
welcome.
Allen's fat blood donation. I can see the storefront right
guys.
Now.
See you there.
Yeah. Thank you, Doc. All right. Quick break. Come on back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler, and our podcasts now are easier than ever to find.
Just download the iHeartRadio app and search Todd and Tyler.